Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Controligarchs, new book, very interesting. Seamus Brunner joins the program as we talk all hour about the people behind the scenes that are controlling the world. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Get involved with our podcast by subscribing to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We frequently get asked the question, who's in charge? Who is calling the shots? Because it's clear it's not Joe Biden. There's somebody else that is in charge. Well, our next guest is Seamus Brunner, who has a new book out that is very interesting, Controligarchs, Exposing the Billionaire Class, Their Secret Deals, and the Globalist Plot to Dominate Your Life. Sounds uplifting. Seamus, welcome to the program.
Hey, Charlie. It's great to be with you.
Tell us about your book.
Yeah, so I hear it all the time that the pandemic is over, the pandemic is in the past. That's not true. The pandemic was a blueprint for the future, and you see it all the time. Our world is getting smaller. It's getting more and more controlled. We're losing control over our children's education, over everything from our food sources to our finances. And so this really lays out the people who are pushing this agenda.
Well, walk us through some of the specifics and the details that are in the book, and you know we can go from there.
Sure. So we follow the money. We follow it all the way to the top at the Government Accountability Institute. We followed it to Davos. I know you've done some great work on this stuff. Let's see, like Bill Gates and the food scheme he's got going. Everybody knows that Bill Gates is buying up all this farmland in the U.S. They know he's investing in creepy fake food companies, but they're not really sure why. And so a lot of it is about money. We follow the patents. Bill Gates, I mean, as a software salesman, he knows all about licensing and all about intellectual property. His father was an intellectual property attorney, really helped Microsoft get off the ground. Well, he has used that intellectual property knowledge to start cornering the markets in industries like food. So for example, he buys into Beyond Meats and Impossible Foods only after they have received their patents. And that's kind of the whole thing with these fake foods. They say it's about climate change and solving climate change, saving the planet. What it's really about is patenting our food sources. They patented the seeds, they've patented the fertilizers, and now they're patenting the meats.
Yeah, so, I mean, the more sinister explanation is that Bill Gates might want to have less people. What is the reason you would say that Bill Gates wants to control our food supply?
Well, that's absolutely true. And it sounds like a conspiracy theory. I thought it was too. And you see these clips every now and then of Bill Gates saying there needs to be less people. But that's what all of the characters in this book actually believe. They think that the earth is vastly overpopulated and the population needs to go down. They don't ever really give you specifics on how they plan to bring the population down. Actually, they say that they'll bring the population down by curing diseases, which is weird. Less disease equals more people. But anyhow, with the food supply, I mean, yeah, these Beyond Meats and these lab grown meats are really filled with chemicals. I'm not a scientist or nutritionist, but I've talked to many who say that they're not healthy at all.
So let's just take a step back here. What I think is interesting, though, is if you go back to the quote unquote robber barons of the early 1900s, Carnegie, Mellon, JP Morgan, they get represented in history books as being somewhat evil and sinister. I don't think that's totally fair, largely because their philanthropy was directed towards libraries, colleges, hospitals, public parks. Now, you might have had some issue of how they ran their company. There's actually a really amazing growing work of literature that shows a lot of nuance to how Standard Oil was run and all that. But let's put that aside. I don't think anyone would ever question the motives of Carnegie, Rockefeller, Morgan, as far as their love of the country, their willingness to invest in it. What makes our new set of circumstances different, and you see this on the front cover of your book, Control Oligarchs, Zuckerberg, Gates, Bezos, Soros, I don't think they love the country. I don't think they're investing their money into the new modern day equivalents of hospitals or public parks. Rockefeller, for example, donated millions of acres in Maine and Wyoming, which we now know as the gateway to Yellowstone Park. They literally named the entire highway after it. You know, Carnegie built, you know, not just Carnegie Mellon, but also huge amounts of public infrastructure projects. Talk about how this is a different elite. This is a different mindset. This is a separate psychology than we've seen of the elites a century ago.
That's exactly right, Charlie. The oligarchs, so-called oligarchs of the early 20th century are nothing like what we're seeing today. What we see today with the big tech oligarchs is like it's got complexes on steroids. They want to control every aspect of your life, from what you're eating to what you're seeing. I mean, information, of course, you talk about it all the time with the censorship and the clampdowns on dissent. And as far as loving America, no, these are avowed globalists. They're loyal to the World Economic Forum in Davos. They call themselves citizens of the world. That's, you know, the abolition of borders and Soros funding all of these migrant groups, moving people into the U.S. He wants to do away with borders. They don't state that they're not loyal to the United States, but their actions and especially their funding show that they have other loyalties.
Yeah, other loyalties is important. And the God complex is bad. What's even worse in the God complex is wanting to use your kind of wealth and your power to remake the country, not to shore up its defenses. I mean, Henry Ford certainly had some issues, right? But he poured into the country. He wanted a very strong country. And so where does this come from? Why is it that the new roster of elites that you detail in your book, Control Oligarchs, why do they hate the homeland so much? Where does this come from? Is it because they went to university? I mean, Bill Gates was a dropout. Is it because they were raised in a Silicon Valley finance culture that is more globalist minded? Where does it come from?
Well, see, yes, that's exactly right. I mean, it's the globalist mindset. It's not necessarily just America. It's more the peasant class. I mean, they have more in common with the elites of China, for example. I go, into great detail about how they really love China, and they love the Chinese system. They love this amalgamation of capitalism and communism. State-run capitalism is what they call it in China. Klaus Schwab calls it stakeholder capitalism, which I know you've talked about, and it's sort of this esoteric term. But stakeholder capitalism, when you read Klaus Schwab's manifestos, the people who aren't the stakeholders, never talks about the people, we the people, being stakeholders. It's always business leaders and NGOs and officials from the government. We don't have a seat at that table.
Yeah. Kind of build that out further, though, which is there's the World Economic Forum. You have Klaus Schwab on the front page of your book. Everyone is driven by something different. I don't know if you agree with this. Do you think that Soros has a different agenda than Zuckerberg? I do. Zuckerberg seems like a guy who wants to end the game with the most tokens. Soros is a guy that wants to destroy the game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but I do agree with that. I mean, they're all have different motivations to a degree, but they also have a lot of the same motivations in that they want to control every facet of life. I see it time and again, both with Soros and with Zuckerberg. So yes, they have different opinions. They're different people.
Yeah, I think that Soros is far more sinister and kind of say Machiavellian. Zuckerberg, I think, is malleable. I mean, based on all public accounts, people that have known Zuckerberg, he used to be kind of this free speech liberal, almost libertarian, but I think he's a coward. I think that external forces have been able to shape shift Zuckerberg. I think he wants to be liked. I think he wants to have his empire. He wants to be reasonable. Soros is a legit ideologue. We have no evidence that Zuckerberg, in his private musings, is all about, you know, Western transformation, right? Now, he might be doing that, but as far as his intention, I'm not so sure. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I know, don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. So on the cover of your book, you have some of these control oligarchs. You have Schwab, Zuckerberg, Gates, Bezos, and Soros. Let's talk about Jeff Bezos when he's not on the front page. Is it Vogue? What a ridiculous, that was a very strange magazine cover, by the way. I will say, if I had $150 billion, or if I had $100 billion like Bill Gates, I would totally do the Bezos thing and become super buff. Mad respect. Like, you just got to get that one out of the way, right? So Bezos, the fact that you're kind of super well built and trimmed, I think that's a good use of money. What's not a good use of money is his taxpayer-funded electric vehicle ambitions. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's right. And just going back to what you were saying a moment ago about Zuckerberg versus Soros, I think Bezos is a lot closer to Zuckerberg, like you say. I mean, he had this sort of almost libertarian bent in the 90s, and it's sort of turned into more. I mean, he's very quiet. You don't hear much from him except when you see him doing these photo shoots. But with the electric vehicle, I mean, everyone knows about Amazon and Alexa. They're always listening to you. But what most people don't know is that they're actually trying to figure out what you're thinking. And Amazon Web Services is, you know, a huge AI company. It's going to probably be one of the biggest AI companies. And trying to figure out what people think, they've got a window into your home. I mean, you've heard the example maybe about the guy who uttered the racial slur, and next thing you know, he's canceled and locked out of all of it. He can't get Whole Foods through Amazon, can't watch his Prime videos. The only problem with that was he didn't ever utter the racial slur at all. So it's, you know, there are some ideological things going on with the tech companies listening to you. And then with the electric vehicle, I mean, we just had last week, Congress passed a kill switch mandate so that the government can shut down your electric vehicle. Now, just think, I mean, a couple of years out, we're not far away. Let's say you post the wrong thing online, you could lose driving privileges. I mean, that's really where we're headed.
Yeah, and by the way, this is totally true. One of the threats of mass electric vehicle use, consumption, and facilitation is they're able to shut off your car. So from what your research, because you've done a lot of research, Peter Schweizer praises your research, Bezos, talk about what drives that man. Because again, by all public reports and private reports, I know a lot of billionaires that have known Bezos for years. They said he's become more cocky and that, you know, that's understandable when you get worth $150, $180 billion. But they say he still to this day is a free speech type libertarian. Do you believe that to be true?
Elon Musk is probably the only big tech guy I've seen who's shown any indication of being a free speech libertarian. I haven't seen that from Bezos. We've seen conservative titles, many of them, more than a dozen, a couple dozen conservative titles pulled off of Amazon. Now, you know, Bezos might say that it's under pressure from his staff, but you think Elon Musk would censor people because his employees were telling him that he needed to remove someone? I don't think so. And so all of the characters, Bezos included, sort of speak out of both sides of their mouth. I think, you know, just like with Zuckerberg, he sounds like he's a free speech guy, but then their actions show totally different things. I mean, they censor on all of their platforms. And then the other thing with Bezos, the thing I find pretty alarming, is the cozy relationship he's building and has built with the intelligence agencies. I mean, Amazon gets this big $10 billion Jedi cloud contract type deal from the Pentagon. All of the big tech agencies are hosting their operations on Amazon Web Services. That's kind of a thing that goes really unnoticed. I mean, you see when you're watching an NFL game that Amazon's got the great stats, and I do enjoy seeing those stats that are, you know, from AI that they're giving you. But think about all of that technology. They boast of it in the commercials being used against you. I mean, it's a pretty terrifying prospect. So I would say that Bezos, amongst the people on the cover, I mean, you're certainly right. George Soros is a total ideologue and you know, more terrifying in a lot of ways in what he's trying to fund with the chaos and the total destruction of the United States. You don't see Bezos totally funding that, but he's funding the climate change ambition, the so-called climate change ambitions that are really all about control, from the vehicles to the smart homes. I mean, there's some examples in the book of smart thermostats. If you got a smart thermostat, just imagine going home in the middle of the summer, going to bed and waking up drenched in sweat because the utility companies have decided they're going to use your smart thermostat to keep the temperature high in the middle of the summer. It's happened in Texas. It happened in Colorado. You see Gavin Newsom in California telling people that their temperatures of their homes need to stay up at 80 degrees when it's in a heat wave. I mean, it's just crazy. And Jeff Bezos is making the tech that allows you to do that.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I try to take care of myself. I try to eat right. And I love fruits and vegetables. I'd rather have them than anything else, but I know I don't get nearly enough. So I thought I'll try it for 2 months and no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work after that, then I've tried it and at least I know. Within 2 weeks, I noticed a huge difference in my energy, sleeping better at night, and just energy. I would get up in the morning and get up, not just sit around. You guys have got to try this. You have to try it. You owe it to yourself to try it.
The wife and I both think it's done a lot of good. We both think it's, you know, it's improved your overall day-to-day how you feel. And we've turned everybody onto it. Our kids are on it. We've got brothers and sisters that are on it. We've got some neighbors we've turned onto it. So we're very pleased with the product and the results. It's not like you're Superman, but you definitely know you're healthier. You're going to lose weight. And I've never heard that said in any of the commercials, but by golly, you do.
I work in a school, so I'm around like 1,000 kids a day constantly. And so I wash my hands and use alcohol on them probably 100 times a day or better. And my hands are always cracking open and splitting. And I did not have that this entire winter. And I bet you anything, this is me, I bet you anything it's balance of nature, because it's the only thing I've done different. Like the guy on your commercial says, I'm going to keep on taking it the rest of my life, and I feel the same way. It's going really good. I mean, I feel better. I've got more energy, and, you know, I can go through my day better.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code CHARLIE.
The book is Controligarchs. Seamus Brunner continues with us. So Seamus, let me ask you about this one, weaponizing artificial intelligence. Controligarchs are rapidly ratcheting up AI to extinguish what remains of a free market and push Americans into Marxism. This is a very deep topic. I've always been, I'm worried currently that AI is going to be used as a tool to create a tyrannical society even more so than what we have. Your thoughts?
You're exactly right to be worried, and it's happening right now. The intelligence agencies, they're using AI. They're going to use the tech companies to do it. You look at the biggest company, ChatGPT. I mean, regarding the getting rid of the free market, look at the largest company behind ChatGPT, OpenAI. There's a reason that OpenAI is funding universal basic income studies. And it's, I mean, they, you know, there's other experts, World Economic Forum experts, who say that AI is going to eliminate 40% of the jobs. Either you're going to have to adapt or you're going to be out of work. And, you know, I think the ultimate goal here, they sort of state it when they say you will own nothing and be happy in Davos, is sort of a peasant class living in high-rise buildings and ultra-low emission zones with no cars, eating the bugs. And that's what AI is going to allow.
In your research, how then do we best counter the looming AI threat from these control oligarchs?
Well, the first step is you got to be aware of this, and you got to be aware of their blueprint. I mean, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Something that gives me hope in all of this is that more and more people are craving authenticity. As you see these AI things, I mean, it's really cool. Some of the videos you'll see online of what people are able to do with AI and making videos that look super real. But aren't. But then you see, you get down into the comment sections and you see more and more people saying, this is gross, this is creepy. It's the same thing with the fake foods. Something that gives me hope is, you know, they're not extremely popular, which is why they have to ban cows, and Ireland is headed towards slaughtering the cows. So as more people become aware of what's going on, spread the word, shine the disinfecting light of sunlight on these agendas, that does give me hope. And, you know, nobody's going to want to live in a pod eating bugs. The question is, once you're out of work and given a meager basic income of $30,000, are you going to be able to do anything about it? And that's why we need to act right now.
So your book, Controligarchs, said, quote, rips back the curtain on never before published revelations. What are some of the craziest and most important revelations that our audience would not have heard before?
Well, I just published a piece on Breitbart today. It might be the lead story still. And this is about the control oligarchs profiting from abortion. I mean, right now, the Supreme Court is weighing whether or not to invalidate the FDA approval of a drug called mifepristone. It's also known as RU486. And this is, I mean, this thing is really a sickening drug. And it shocked me when I found out that it's the most common method of abortion. Now, you don't have to be pro-life to find it sort of grotesque that people like George Soros and Warren Buffett are profiting and setting up secret shell companies in the Cayman Islands in order to receive profits from chemical-induced abortions. So that drug, Texas, was the great state of Texas, was the one to sue the FDA last November, saying that the Clinton era approval of this drug was totally crooked. And in the book, I actually document how crooked this was. It was the Rockefeller Foundation in partnership with a few other control oligarchs who brought this drug from a German company whose roots were in Nazi Germany. IG Farben's successor entity is called Huxt AG. Huxt developed this drug that kills infants en masse, or kills the new, fetuses en masse. And, you know, you use tax-exempt resources. This is what the Rockefeller Foundation does. They use tax-exempt resources in partnerships with the government and the Clinton administration to bring this drug to market. Now, it turns out that this is actually one of the most painful ways of having an abortion for a woman. And then you've got billionaires profiting from it. So I thought that was pretty grotesque. You know, a lot of the World Economic Forum stuff has been talked about. Yuval Noah Harari, I know you've talked about him a lot on the show, but just some of the things that they are pouring billions of dollars into with the AI and the Neuralink type companies, microchips, brain microchips, you know, with the test subjects being animals for now. I mean, actually, the FDA just approved Neuralink for human trials. You know, I thought this was all conspiracy theory stuff. Microchips in brains. It's real. It's happening. Over 10,000 people have received microchips in their brains to ostensibly, you know, the thin edge of the wedge is to cure paralysis. But of course, in the hype videos, it's like psychic text messaging and ultimately like VR porn, I guess, beamed directly into your brainstem. That kind of was shocking. And again, it sounds like conspiracy theory stuff, but just go look at the videos on their websites. I mean, this is what they're trying to bring about. I mean, the founder of the Oculus Rift is trying to make nerve implants to make VR porn more realistic. Zuckerberg has got patents, and patents is a huge theme in the book. I mean, that's what it's all about, is patents equal profit. Zuckerberg's patenting things like new skin and haptic suits, so that when you're living in a virtual world, you can, you know, it's like Ready Player One type stuff. So it used to be dystopian future, science fiction. It's all here. It's all now. And it's pretty shocking stuff.
So to reemphasize the abortion pill, this is not like Plan B. This is far after conception. And there's no mystery of whether or not that there is a human life in play. And this is very graphic, and it is widespread. So there's a what you're saying, though, is that these control oligarchs, the more that abortion is legal, the richer they get. That's really sick stuff.
It's really sick stuff. That's the thing, is it seems counterintuitive too, because they are pouring, they poured more than what this is. Soros, Gates, Buffett, they're huge funders. Speaking of Jeff Bezos, his ex-wife, Mackenzie Scott, is a huge funder of abortion. So they use their nonprofit tax exempt resources to make abortion more accessible, easier to get, you know, subsidize organizations like Planned Parenthood. They get the tax write-offs for moving their money into those organizations. But then on the private side, there's absolutely a profit motive in abortion. I mean, you know, you saw Planned Parenthood, they said selling baby parts is conspiracy theory, but you saw on video, the director said, "I want a Lamborghini." So there's certainly a profit motive in the abortion industry. And I had no idea that George Soros and Warren Buffett were behind this shell company in the Cayman Islands, it's called Danko Laboratories, that the Supreme Court right now is reviewing whether or not that drug should remain available.
That's remarkable. Yeah, I didn't know that. The fact that not only is it an ideological thing over quote unquote women's self-sovereignty, but they're actually making money off abortion. That's really telling. So let me kind of build this out then. So you have Klaus Schwab, who's been covered a lot, Zuckerberg, Bezos, not as much, who, remember, he owns the Washington Post, and his ex-wife, Mackenzie, like you said, she's worth $35 billion, and she's just spending money like it's going out of style on left-wing politics. And then you have Soros. Soros out of the five is the most notorious to try to reshape Western society. What have you discovered about George Soros that you feel does not get enough attention?
Well, you know, there was a question of whether George Soros would even last, and should he be on the cover? Would he be alive? He's 93 years old. And so I wanted to see who the next Soros is, and that's Alexander Soros. Of course, George Soros has multiple children. Each one of them funds radical left-wing causes. And unfortunately, his $25 billion empire is passed in the hands of Alexander Soros, who is much more radical than he is. His father, that is his father. Alex Soros has said he wants to use this $25 billion empire to fund abortion. And I mean, obviously he calls it women's rights and reproductive health. They all use sort of these euphemisms for the mass extermination of fetuses. But and of course, elections are, you know, if Alex Soros lives to the age of his father, our elections are not safe for the next 50 years.
Yeah, the entire Soros cabal and cartel is going to have billions and billions and billions of dollars. Alexander Soros, by the way, is more political than the other. I love this clip here. So here you have Bill Gates, who wants to be in charge of your childhood vaccinations, food, and health. Play cut 60.
Out there distributing health advice that have a giant hole in their health game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like Bill Gates is a great example of that. He's got this big fat belly, and he's telling people they have to get vaccinated. Like this kind of binary thinking, this kind of ridiculous way of looking at the world through only pharmacological interventions, through only medicine, through only this, through only that. There's so many different things that you have to do to be healthy.
Yeah, the best part of the tape is actually when Rogan just roasts him for other physical attributes. Check out the book Control Oligarchs. So Seamus, What piece of research here in the book that we didn't talk about do you want to make sure our audience is aware of? Just plug your book, Control Oligarchs.
I think my favorite chapter was the dystopian present chapter, and that's the one that's all about what big tech is up to next, how they're working with the intelligence agencies. Everybody knows about and how the 2020 election and the censoring of the Hunter Biden laptop, but it really lays out the connections between organizations like the Atlantic Council and how now Stanford has disinformation initiatives. I think information is probably the most serious thing they're trying to control. You know, they're not going to be able to force feed you bug milkshakes, but with the information, we're kind of at the mercy of what these big tech oligarchs are doing. And so the fusion of the deep state and the government bureaucracies with these, I mean, they've got trillions of dollars at their disposal, the big tech companies and the Davos sponsors and partners. It's hard to imagine how we stand a chance. And so information, the only way that we can solve this, we need to be able to speak freely. I applaud Elon Musk for what he's done with Twitter. I mean, he is a character in the book. He's the richest man from time to time. And he does use that money to fund various things. Those are in this dystopian present chapter, like the Neuralink stuff. I think also the China connections and how these guys are really Sinophiles, and how a lot of people think that, Amazon goes and sets up shops and, or purchases products and sells them to us, cheap Chinese goods, just for money. And that, all of our businesses and the hollowing out of our manufacturing sector, it was all just about money. That's not the case. The people in this book like the Chinese model. They like this state-run capitalism model where, a few select corporations can really make it rich, while the rest of the people, if there's any dissent, instantly clamped down on, instantly disappeared. I mean, you see it with the COVID. You saw it with the COVID lockdowns. That was modeled after China's zero COVID policy. And even after China's zero COVID policy was shown to be an absolute failure, I mean, when you saw Shanghai residents locked down for days or weeks at a time, even after the zero COVID policy was a failure, you still see these guys like Bill Gates advocating for lockdowns. And so the sort of collusion between Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci and both of their favor towards China, that's a huge problem. The social credit score is what I believe the end game is. I think the book shows that they're pouring millions and billions of dollars into digital ID efforts. Just last week, Bill Gates and the United Nations and the Rockefeller Foundation hosted an event called 50 in 50, how 50 countries within 5 years are going to be rolling out these digital ID regimes. The central bank digital currencies, these all sound like conspiracy type terms, but I know Charlie, I know your audience is smart. They know that these are full speed ahead. The Atlantic Council also last week said that CBDCs are, quote, maintaining momentum, strong momentum through into 2024. The Fed is working on CBDC, the World Bank and the Bank of International Settlements love the idea of a global CBDC. That the CBDC combined with the digital ID combined with the information control is like game over.
With your research, what is their vulnerability? What is their weak spot?
Well, it's we the people. We need to band together. If you're not doing something to counteract this force that is being exerted upon you, you need to, at the very least, spread the word. Our founders were right that, that's why shows like yours are important, getting the information out there, just liking and subscribing and sharing, as dumb as that may sound, really is important, and evangelizing to your relatives and being, it's hard. If you don't have the facts and you try to go to Thanksgiving dinner and convince your liberal Uncle Larry of something, you're not going to make much headway. You got to have the facts and the figures, and then you'll, talk to him and ask him what he thinks and ask him to explain his position. You'll find 9 out of 10 times they really can't. So we do have an advantage with the fact that the truth is on our side. And the other thing that I would say we need to do is correct the imbalance. I mean, the left is just like people like George Soros, is like an endless ATM for left-wing causes, and there are endless great conservative donors. We need more.
Seamus Brunner, excellent work. Control Agarks, thank you so much. Everyone, check it out. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.